technical difficulties. Let's give this a try and see what happens. It's the news, according to me. That's hot. That's hot. Good morning. It is Monday morning, June 23rd, 9:14 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is 8:14 Central Time Zone, which is what I'm in. I'm in Chicago at the moment. I'm in a hotel in Chicago. Surprisingly enough, I didn't think I would be in a hotel in Chicago today. I might be today and tomorrow, actually, the way things are shaping up. I'm not sure how this is going to go. But in the meantime, we have a very limited amount of time here this morning. I have to put this little thing in place. I was trying a little experiment today with the old AirPods.
What are they? I'm not exactly even sure what they're called.
I had to move across the room there. I do have a cup this morning. I don't have a back. I do have a backup cup. It's in the refrigerator.
It's right here, folks. It's right. Wait, don't worry. Hold off.
It's okay. It's gonna be okay. Yeah, we got a little backup cup here. And it's actually still okay. I've got my I went to Culver's yesterday. Got some sweet tea from the Culver's facility. So I still have that in my refrigerator here. But I do have chai with some powdered creamer in it. At least it's hot. That's all I can say about that. We have a couple things I want to talk about. Of course, people are going crazy over this whole thing with the strikes, the bomb strikes. We were told we weren't going to get into another war. Now here we are doing another war with this thing with Israel. Somewhere in between here, of all the rhetoric and all the crazy talk, is the truth. Some things that people aren't keeping calm heads about this. There are people on the right who are saying that there are some Trump supporters who are saying they don't support the strikes in Iran. I don't like it. There are some things that at the same time, it's irritating, and yet I don't know everything that the president knows. I don't know everything that's going on. I hope this is not just being done just for Israel's sake. This kind of comes back to the whole thing about between Ted Cruz and Tucker Carlson and some of the ways that, the AIPAC and some of the things that are going on in this country between the United States and Israel and how we're being manipulated. You can call it that. There's so many arguments on both sides of this issue that, by the way, welcome to the show. If you haven't heard the show before, and I say that because it seems to be that there's a lot of new listeners now on occasion. It varies from day to day, but it seems like we get a lot of new listeners in, and I'd like to hear from some of you if you'd like to call in the hotline. It's hot. Careful, it's hot. You have to wear a little hot pad. The fun thing about it is you can call in. It's 812-379-8778, and if you can call or text that number and ask me a question, leave a comment. Let me know what you think about what I think about the news, because this is about what I think about the news, because it's the news according to me, not the news according to you. And just leave a call. You can leave your name, leave a fake name. I don't care, whatever you want to do. Or just let me know once your audio recording. If you don't want your audio recording put on the show, or if you don't want me to read your comment or question on the show, just let me know. You can also, of course, you can also post via Facebook. I think this thing goes on Facebook and Twitter and some other, X or whatever. Some other things. So if you want to do that, feel free. You can put those things on there. And I probably won't read them on there because I very rarely go on to X or Facebook, my Facebook page. However, I think it is posted there. I don't think the show itself is posted there, but the link to the show is posted there. Same thing with Twitter X. I think it's the link to the show, I think, is posted. I'm not sure. You can also, I don't think Spotify allows you to make comments or anything like that. But you can like the show. But so anyway, However, the show is not sponsored, so you get the only advertisements you get are those kinds of advertisements right there. Right there. That's as far as the closest thing to an advertisement you're going to get, unless I happen to be using some kind of product that I like and I'll talk about it. That kind of comes up occasionally in conversation. But I'm not sponsored by anybody, and don't plan to be. That's just kind of the way I roll. So we have this whole thing with Iran. The president, of course, he couldn't just say, "Hey, we're going to bomb, Iran on, at midnight on such and such a day," and whatever. You just can't come out and say those kinds of things. Of course, there's all these negotiations that are going on. He left the G7. Of course, we knew something big was going to happen. I think that this whole thing with negotiation, why he had to be in the White House, he wanted to be hands-on in this process. He wanted to be there physically with his cabinet, with all these people that he had to work with. And I think. And real quick, there's something that I think we need to talk about. It's a side issue involving the whole thing with Iran, but I think it needs to be talked about, and that is the whole issue of regime change. There's a lot of banter going on about whether or not the U.S. is going to. It's one thing to want regime change, and I think that they don't define this very well. When the commentators, especially MSNBC and CNN, whenever they're asking the vice president or the president or anybody in the cabinet questions about this stuff, they don't get very specific about what they're define regime change and define what you mean by we want regime change, or when you say we want regime change in Iran, does that mean we're going to make it happen? Does that mean we're going to eliminate people? Are we going to put people in place? Are we going to, how is that, or does that just mean that we would like to see someone else in charge? This is a very touchy question when it comes to this kind of thing, because because the next thing out of their mouth is, "Well, is the president going to order the supreme leader killed or whatever?" So I think there's been some confusion between the way that people ask these questions and the way Trump has responded. Of course, they want to see regime change. Because J.D. Vance was asked this question about do we want to see regime change? Well, what we want to see is that we'd like to see regime change, but we'd like to see the regime itself. They don't necessarily have to leave leadership if they just change the way they're operating. We don't want to see them operating with this heavy-handed anti-Israel. And of course, they're lying about the whole thing about, Islamic law does not allow us to have a nuclear weapon. What are you talking about? The only reason we're doing it is because Israel started first, but Israel hasn't dropped a bomb on you. So why are you worried about it? The only reason they want a bomb is because, or the only reason Israel thinks they need a bomb is because you want to destroy them. It's a defensive deterrent. That's what this is. Now, I don't know if Israel ever uses one offensively as a first strike. They're out of line. You just don't do that. If they're in the middle of a war and they're about to die and they just need to end the thing, that's one thing. If they are using it as a preemptive strike of some sort, that gets to be a real tough line. But again, that's beyond my ability to control. My opinions don't really matter at that point. It's just whatever they do. And I can share with you my opinions, but goes about as far as my mouth to your ear. And I didn't say your ear, I said your ear. However you want to take that. But my voice and the voices of all the pundits and all the people who flail around, it will shape somewhat a little bit of the public sentiment, however, that has very little to do with the effect that it has. Is realistically, it's very small. Now, having said all that, we have there's been this kind of it'll be forgotten about in a week. But there's misunderstanding, I think, between how people are asking the question and how Trump responded to the question, how J.D. Vance responded to the question. Of course, we'd like to see regime change, but that doesn't mean we're going to make it happen. I think that's where the administration stands. That doesn't we're not going to cause it to happen, more or less, what I'm trying to say. We'd like to help facilitate it. We'd like to help the Iranian people, the Persians, take back their country from this, from the radical Islam regime that's there now. However, it's not something we're going to assassinate the supreme leader or anything like that. That's just rhetoric we don't need to have in our vocabulary right now. However, the leftists would love for that to happen because they'd like to paint Trump as a vicious, you know, bloodthirsty individual, which he is not. And he, you know, and then getting back to this whole thing with the bombing, one of the things they're not talking about, and I think it's important to bring up, what was the body count? What was the death toll of these bombings? Massive bombs, massive bunker busting bombs. You know, so we have this idea, this thought that these bunkers were manned by these, you know, a lot of scientists. They're down there in lab coats and they're running these centrifuges and they're doing all this work. And they're just down there, and all of a sudden these bombs go off and they're all gone. There probably were zero individuals. Because you notice that they're not talking about any kind of death toll here. They're not talking about a body count. Even Iran is talking about, oh, this was nothing. Now, I think both people are being somewhat honest. Nobody was killed. I seriously doubt that anybody was even injured in this process. And because they knew full well what was coming. They didn't know when. They didn't know how. They didn't see it coming, but they knew it was coming. It's a matter of time. And I think that they had those bunkers completely evacuated. No, there was nobody there. Maybe there was a security guard. You know, that's not that's not important. His life was important, his or her life, or whoever. If some people lost their lives in that whole process, those lives were important. But the problem is, it obviously was not an attack on civilians. It was not an attack on, you know, the country, just trying to annihilate a nation of people. It was the regime and what they were trying to do. It was a very strategic military issue. Now, is this a weapons of mass destruction repeat thing? Again, the president only operates on the information and knowledge he's given. Interesting thing happened last night. I just happened to turn on. I saw Mike Pompeo on Fox, and I just happened to have it playing in the background. I usually have it muted. I just kind of keep it up in case there's a massive story breaks or something big happens. And I wanted to hear what he had to say. Of course, he's being asked some questions. That guy's losing a lot of weight. He's getting extremely thin to the point of. Almost doesn't look healthy now at this point, but I'm not sure what's going on with that. But anyway, the interesting thing, they asked him a question. I said, he's not a part of the administration anymore. He's not involved in this administration. And ironically, they said that the person who was asking him the questions asked him, well, I know when you were in the administration, there were a lot of leaks and people were talking. There was all kinds of leaks going on. It seems like this time there's not any leaks coming out. How do you feel about that? Well, yeah, it was hard to operate with all that. You know, you didn't know who to trust. And interesting that he's not in the administration anymore and there's no leaks. Just saying. I don't know. I don't know if he is or not. I'm not accusing him of anything. It's just suspicious. I think, personally, keep in mind, Mike Pompeo talked about running for president. Mike Pompeo was head of the CIA for a while, or one of the intelligence agencies. I think it was CIA. This is the kind of thing that I think we tend to forget. And some of these deep state folks who are, you know, not Mr. President Trump knows who these people are now. And it's interesting how he's been able to keep much more of a wrap on much of what's going on. Now you've got thousands of people working for you. You don't know who is the weasel in the stew here, kind of thing. I don't know if you've ever seen a weasel in a stew, but it's not a pretty sight. having a weasel stew. It's a weasel stew, and it's not very good either. It doesn't taste very good. I've smelled it, but I've never tasted it. No, I never. I don't know. I've been to some foreign countries, and wouldn't be surprised if there was maybe a weasel stew in there somewhere. But so we have Mike Pompeo. A lot of these guys, of course, now Bolton has come out. I don't know Mike Bolton, whatever his name is. He's come out all you know, teary-eyed and happy about the fact that Donald Trump did absolutely the right thing, going after these weapons. Of course, he's a warmonger, he's a war hawk, he's a deep state, I should say, industrial complex guy. He probably gets paid for every time he mentions war. And it's they got the crowd that says, "Well, no new wars, no wars. We don't want any wars at all." The reality is we're not at war now. Of course, now the Democrats want to come out and say that President Trump had no authority to do this. Only Congress can declare war. Well, we haven't declared war against Iran, and the president hasn't declared war. These strikes were not an act of war. You can bring up President Bill Clinton, Kosovo, Libya. You can bring up a number of places and times that presidents, both Democrat and Republican, have bombed. I remember this was back in probably the 80s, early 80s, when I think it was 82, 83, President Reagan, I believe, launched missiles into somewhere, some cruise missiles into somewhere. The leftists all their heads popped off, and they were all, "Well, we're going to war. Oh no, it's World War III." It wasn't. This any kind of conflict can turn, it can escalate into something. Now, one of the biggest issues I think that we have with this particular political scene is that Russia tends to be on the side of Iran. They are somewhat friends, and part of the thing is the whole oil. Now you got the Straits of what is it? The Strait of Hormuz, whatever it is, the strait that Iran for all practical purposes, they can pretty much shut down that strait where a lot of the oil, world's oil goes through. I think 20% of the world's oil goes through that strait. Interestingly enough, it could cause prices to go up here. However, our oil independence has come back. Our energy independence has come back. By the end of the year, it won't matter really too much. Now, it could cause prices just to remain high because the world market is high. But we're at a point where we're not importing much oil anymore. So it's not going to really affect our country as much. We should care about the world's economic situation, but at the same time, it's those who are crying and screaming about that are kind of again rattling the trees. The interesting part about this whole thing is that we just have politically motivated rhetoric on both sides of this issue. People aren't taking a step back and really really thinking about it with any kind of contemplative, realistic thought, deliberate thought about it. It's difficult to navigate all of this and remain calm and remain without having some kind of passion for a purpose, for some kind of mission that you're on, for some kind of a cause. Again, to me, it comes back to what was the loss of life. Let's start there. As far as we know, zero. There would be talk about this all up and down everywhere. The president's I had some questions about his constitutional authority to do this because to me it seemed like we were going to war and we weren't. Now we don't have troops on the ground. We don't have. It's not a major military operation. These operations that have been done in the past, there is a 60-day window, the way I understand it. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm not a military constitutional expert here either. However, from what I can gather, that initially I had some questions about whether or not it was constitutionally legal, and I thought this might give the Democrats a foothold for possible impeachment. Now, whatever's happening this week, whatever Trump does this week, is what they will impeach him for next week. It's changed, and of course they're going to impeach him over the whole National Guard thing in California. And Supreme Court ruled, guess what? The commander in chief is responsible for the military because he's the commander in chief. So therefore, it's kind of dumb. In fact, the Babylon Bee, I think, came out actually with it's a meme, but it says exactly that. How ironic! Oh, how surprising it is that the president has the authority. You know, the commander in chief of the military has the ability to command the military. That's kind of how ironic and how silly it was. Now, at the same time, they're going to impeach him over that. And of course, this was all Gavin Newsom. He's trying to come up and be the tough guy and really stand in Trump's face. And he's trying to make a play for the presidential. You know he is. His whole podcast, his whole thing, everything he's trying to do, he's trying to centralize himself. He's trying to be the guy that can win over everyone. He is a very slick talker, folks. This guy is a very slick, very polished guy who really, I think most normal Americans can see through the guy. But at the same time, it's easy for him to manipulate people. Obviously, anybody who's been able to stay in office as long as he has after all the screw-ups and scandal and debauchery he's done, literally. I mean, we're not talking about, cheating on his wife and all that stuff. I'm sure that happens. But all the other stuff that he does with the management of his state, and still yet he's still in office. It just blows my mind. However, we have, he'll probably run as the candidate right now. He's kind of, because nobody else is defining himself very well as the candidate, of course, now. You've got AOC. You've got other people that are talking about running. AOC comes up with something. She has obviously some people around her who are feeding her information. And they're coming up with these. She comes up with these what seem like intelligent arguments, and yet you can tell she has no idea what she's talking about. This is she'll learn a word like emoluments. Well, I think it's the emoluments clause. And in most of the interviews she does, they're all scripted. They all know exactly what she's going to talk about. They know exactly. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about that. And we'll bring this up. And we'll use these big words. And I might even use a cuss word because that's the thing now. And if I could, I'd grow a beard. Pete Buttigieg grows a beard. Pete Buttigieg is probably one of the most phony individuals, politician-wise. He plays the political theater to a he should be an actor, really. He should be in Hollywood doing acting in some kind of woke shows. He should be one of the Seven Dwarfs. The guy is a total theatrical. It just placates to any kind of political theater that he can. The whole biking incident where he had his driver, they took his bike in within a mile of the Capitol, and he got out. He rode his bike in to work under the Biden administration. Rode his bike into work to be an example. He only did it once. Cameras were there. They all talked about it. The cameras there. He talked about it. And then, of course, somebody found out that he actually didn't drive in. He didn't ride his bike all the way into work. He only rode it 1 mile. It was on a perfect day. Or you didn't have to work up a sweat or get rained on sometimes it just doesn't work to ride a bike every day. But they made it look like that's what he was doing. Setting an example. Look at the leadership he's providing. Yeah, whatever. That's just the kind of people they play these kinds of games all the time. It's like Tim Walz. How many times have you been hunting since the election? Been out there hunting a lot because you're such a great hunter. Have you even touched a gun since then? Is that time you went out hunting quail or whatever it was you're hunting? Of course, they always go bird hunting because, you know, that's the most acceptable thing for the American people. They don't show them out deer hunting. Now, Christy Noem, again, Christy Noem, she's got some issues, folks. She's got some personal image issues. I don't know why people, well, I understand why people do it, but it's folks, and I'm not saying anything about her leadership and her ability to lead and her ability to function as a public servant. However, she's got some image issues. She does a lot of stuff to her face and her body, and it's all about looking like the, I don't know, it just when you have too much plastic surgery or Botox, whatever you're doing to yourself, to me, that's kind of sad when a person can't accept the way they look and they just, it's okay to some extent to, you know, be presentable, but be who you are. No, don't be, I guess I'm not a good example of this because I can have an eyelash that's, or eyebrow that's going, you know, three feet long. It's twisting into somebody else's face, and I don't even care. But to some extent, we all have a certain amount of self-consciousness that hopefully that we, you know, don't want to look embarrassingly, you know, hideous. But at the same time, it's just we are who we are, and I think it's important for us to take a step back during all this rhetoric, and really, you know, ask the right questions and keep our priorities in line. You know, if we appreciate life, if we, then look at the, what's in this bombing list. Let's just go down the list of priorities: life, liberty, human rights, all those things. How many of those things were violated in the bombing of Iran? You know, go down that list of things, and then you know, constitutional authority, constitutional precedent. Apparently, there is authority for the president to do such a thing. He's not declaring war. Of course, now the Democrats are all saying, "Oh, this is Congress. Congress is the only one who has." They'd love to think that the Congress has more power than the president. That, unfortunately, the president has more power than the Congress, and the, you know, clear and present danger. Obviously, the president can order whatever he needs to protect the country. However, and apparently this is one of those things that falls within a 60-day window of why do we do this and why the president ordered this done. There is a common strategy. After hearing about the strikes, I was like, they had to have had, you know, 27,000 lawyers looking at this and working on this and making sure the president had the authority to do it. I'm sure that they worked on that. Now, there's been some questions about all the backroom talk that had probably gone on before Israel even started in with their campaign against Iran. Trump had given them 60 days to make a deal. Let's come up with a deal where you're not going to have nuclear weapons and we're going to have some kind of an arrangement. One of the problems that we run into in our country is when we make negotiations like this, the United States has been known for breaking negotiations. The problem is you get a different president in three years or 3.5 years, and you get a different administration there and administration people here, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, they're breaking their agreement because the next president may not feel the same way, or the next political party in charge may not feel the same way, and they just break the agreement. And that's one of the things I think that has been a problem with governments in general within our, especially even on the local level. I struggled with a problem one time with the city government. I had made a deal. It was a handshake agreement. I said, I will put an investment of X amount of dollars into this building that the city owned. And for in exchange, I want a 12-year agreement, 6 years of almost rent-free use of the building, and then another 6 years of very low rent on the building. And after 12 years, then the rent would go back to normal and everything would be back to a normal rate for it, like just like everybody else, unless we negotiate something else. When it all came down to putting it in writing, after I'd put the money in the building, by the way, which was a mistake on my part, the agreement was completely different. Everything was totally different. And I was paying a lot more over the course of 12 years than I would have paid just to pay regular rent in place, especially after putting the money into the building. It was a difference of about $57,000 in 12 years. And it was, you know, they kind of had me over a barrel at that point. I renegotiated a few things. Actually, I had to talk to the mayor about it. I had to go through a couple of different arrangements, and I came up with a fair arrangement. The mayor basically said, just come up with a fair agreement and we'll sign it. And he didn't like to get involved with the aviation stuff. That's why he had a board, the aviation board. And fortunately, we were able to work out an agreement and get it down to at least, you know, basically paying what I normally would have paid. And even after I put all the investment in the building. Folks, I want to just thank you for listening. Thanks for listening. And again, call the show, 812-379-8778. And I'll do what you think. In the meantime, pray for the nation, pray for other nations, pray for Israel. We'll talk about that. God bless. Have a great rest of your day. See you.